Hi everybody, hope you're having a great day so far. Before we start today's episode, I just want to give you a small reminder to hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you're listening to today's podcast. And also, if you have the time, if you could feel free to leave us a review, that would help us out tremendously. There are some weird podcast algorithms that are out there. Too scientific for me to comprehend or explain, but it would help us out tremendously if you did that. Thanks for listening to the Northern Nerd Podcast. Welcome back. I know it's been a minute since I've done a podcast episode, but I promise you the wait is going to be worth it. And today my guest is one of my favorite teachers to follow on Instagram, and his name is Mr. Philip Lindsay. That's where you can find him on TikTok and Instagram and also Facebook. And it was great to talk with him about life as a special education teacher, raising awareness for what life as a special education teacher is like, but also talking about how some of his content creation has taken off. Right now, he's sitting at over 500,000 followers on Instagram. And what he's doing with his platform is going beyond the numbers. He's creating a positive space where people can learn more about teachers and also middle school slang, and also educating people on life as a special education teacher. So I really love what he does. He is a fun guy to sit down and talk life with, not only relatable things in the education field, but also just life as a dad, as a husband, what life is like out in Arizona. And I think you guys are going to enjoy our rapid fire questions as well. So thank you for tuning in. Enjoy today's episode with Mr. Philip Lindsay. Did you ever imagine in your wildest dreams that you'd be like talking middle school slang on the Today Show one day?
No, never. Not one time. No, it's funny because, I talk about this quite a lot. People usually ask a question similar to that. And it's really funny because I started like TikTok, Instagram, those kinds of things because I've been working on for a long time just like special education math resources. And so I'm still working on them. They're just moving rather slow. But that's how this whole thing started. Was I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to have resources at some point, then maybe I should have a platform to like sell them on. And so I started posting videos. And as I started posting videos, I was like, okay, people kind of connect with me, find some humor in what I'm sharing and that kind of thing. And then the one video that really kicked it off was, I mean, at this point, it was a little over a year ago. October would have been 2023. I just listed all of the words that I heard, the slang words that I heard in a week. And that was the one that kind of launched me into this space of like, okay. And everybody was commenting like, well, I hear that all the time, but I don't know what it means. So it was like, all right, sweet. So there's a space for this. But yeah, never in my wildest dreams did I think that I would be going on the Today Show and talking about the current slang for middle schoolers. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, you're giving the people what they wanted too. I mean, like,
yes.
To see that kind of take off, you're like, okay, well, this is going to be a valuable resource for sure.
Absolutely.
So, all right. So you hear the slang, but like, how do you do your recon? Do you like ask students, just like, hey, fill me in. What is this mean kind of deal?
Yeah. So I've got all kinds of, there's all kinds of avenues. So yeah, I always go to the students first. Are you hearing this? I heard a kid say this. Is he just being like kind of dumb, or is this something trending right now? And they usually, I've got a couple that they're actually eighth graders now. So I got to find my next group of them that are willing to, out their whole generation. But so I've got a group, I kind of go to them and they'll either tell me like, yeah, it's starting to trend, or it's been trending, or here's what you should look up on TikTok, that kind of thing. And then I head to TikTok and I'm like, okay, now that I have a little idea of where to start, I can find kind of what started it, the history of it, that kind of stuff, figure out the meaning, those kinds of things. So yeah, that's kind of my approach, which is really fun. It's a good little relationship builder with that group especially.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they got a Yeah, appreciate that you go to them and everything like that too.
Absolutely.
And trust them with the the slang and everything.
Right.
Have they ever tried to like mess with you and say like, oh, it means this, but it actually meant
early on, they even tried to make up a few slang words early on.
Okay.
But the one that actually got me, like made me kind of dig in, the first slang word that I ever dug into to try and figure out was giat. Because when it first started trending, at least amongst the middle schoolers, it was right at the beginning of the school year, 2023. And we do these things called social contracts. So there's like, in the class, you agree on all these words that you're going to abide by as a class, basically. And one of the words that they kept getting on the social contracts in different classes was giat, because they were saying that it stood for get your act together. And so I was like, oh, get your act together, right? But then every time I walked into a different classroom, because I hop around, I co-teach, and so I'm in a bunch of different classrooms, and every time I would walk in, they'd be like, look, Mr. Lindsay, look what they got on there, get your act together. And I'm like, something is not right about, like, that should suspicious. Be funny. You shouldn't be acting suspicious about that. And so that was actually the first word that I was like, they're trying to dupe us. I've got to do a deep dive, find some kids that are going to be honest with me about what this actually means. So yeah, that was the word. So since then, not really. They don't try and pull one over on me at this point. They just know. Half the kids, I actually know the words and the trends before it gets to them. So they're kind of like, they've given up.
Yeah. You beat them at their own game. Yeah.
Right? Oh, man.
That's awesome. Yeah. And so with that, you've also recently gotten to comedy. How was your first comedy show?
Oh, it was awesome. It was so fun. I was really nervous, really nervous.
I bet.
Number one, about selling tickets. I was like, because I know how the internet works, right? You have 500,000 followers, but where are those people actually at? Like, only a small chunks in California and a small chunks in Arizona and small chunks kind of all over the place. So it's like, am I going to be able to actually sell tickets? But so I was super nervous about that. Sold a good number of tickets. It was a full room. It was fun. And it was so fun just telling ridiculous stories from the classroom, just interactions with students and first year teaching. And I'm the dad of a toddler, so there's some of that mixed into the set and that kind of thing. So it's just, I mean, it was a blast. It was pretty awesome.
Well, props to you for like taking that leap and taking a chance or stuff like, hey, I'm going to go do this comedy thing and see how everything goes. And did you find that there was a lot of fellow teachers in the audience?
That was the best part about it is, so like typically in stand-up, you've got to like earn your way into like headlining your own show. So like you're opening for crowds that may or may not know you or may not even be in the same category as you. The coolest thing about this was, since it was my show, everybody that bought a ticket already knew who I was and was familiar with me, knew what I did for a living. And so, yeah, tons of them were teachers. And so, like, one story that I tell is about the bloodborne pathogen training. I said bloodborne pathogens, and the room erupted. And I was like, okay, this is going to be a good time.
Yes.
So it was awesome. And then the cool thing too is I've now been able to connect with some other teacher comedians, and we're going to do some shows together and that kind of thing. So I just, at this point, I'm really excited. I really want to get like some reps in, like I want to open for some people. I want to just kind of polish the set a little bit and do it with some different people, different environments, and really kind of get that confidence. But yeah, it's been really fun.
Yeah. And I could imagine like it's nice to have the people that can relate to it as well, like going through all these experiences, like people like, oh my gosh, can totally relate to that first year experience, or
absolutely
all the training videos we have to watch and everything like that. It seems like they add like three more every year, just like kind of sneakily just put those
it's
in
crazy.
There.
Yeah, and they don't even let you mute it. You can't even mute it.
No.
You mute it and it pauses the dang video. It's like, I can pass the test, guys.
Right. Well, and it's funny that it's kind of like the same videos. So I started teaching back in 2019.
Okay.
It's the same videos every year.
So I mean, I'm sure they've been the same.
They don't spice it up at all. They're like, and this year, there's a new
bloodborne
thing.
Pathogens. 2.0. Don't touch the blood. Make the janitors do it.
Yeah. It's an important rule, folks. If you take anything away from this podcast, we're helping you out with the bloodborne pathogens. So before you got into teaching, you were a youth pastor. Can you talk about what that transitioning from being a youth pastor was like to being a special education teacher? Because I have a sister that's a youth pastor, so I can kind of relate in some regards there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's it was a cool transition for me because I kind of, my whole, because I was a youth pastor for like eight or nine years. Okay. And so that whole first kind of career of my life, it was very focused on like spiritual well-being of kids or emotional well-being of kids. In the transition, it was really cool to see some of the parallels, especially in like the emotional well-being of kids, like the relationship building that you have to do as a youth pastor to really be able to help students is the same relationship building that you have to do as a teacher to be able to help students, especially in that emotional side of things and that academic side of things. So it's been really cool. One of the things that I always saw as a youth pastor that was kind of discouraging was you would have kids who spiritually kind of found their way, whatever that kind of meant for them, and you would have kids kind of emotionally find their way a little bit, but they were missing that like school piece, that academic piece. And so I would watch like the world kind of swallows them up. Like even if through middle school and high school, like spiritually and emotionally, they're kind of like vibing and they miss that academic piece. They get out into the real world and they kind of get swallowed up by what's going on. Usually because getting a job is difficult or the job that they get is not very meaningful to them or whatever. And so it's been really cool to kind of transition into the space where it's like, okay, I can be a part of the academic side of things too, and really help kind of impress upon them the importance of like, yeah, let's not just the content, but the skills that you're learning as you're learning the content. So it's been really cool. And then the special ed side of things has been super fulfilling because before getting into special education, I did not have a really good understanding of like the span of special education, like how much it actually covers in terms of like disability, type of disability, severity of disability, you know, that kind of thing. And I work primarily with students who you would not, there's nothing in their physical appearance or a lot of them, even in the way that they behave, that would cause you to think, oh, I think that student has a disability, right? Lots of like learning disability, OHI for like autism, ADHD, that kind of stuff. But just it's been really cool to be a part of a discipline that looks at least how I see it, every student, regardless of disability, and goes, oh, we can overcome that barrier. We can figure something out to make this thing easier for you or to give you the skill or to teach you in a way that actually makes sense and watch you have success with it. That has been by far like the best, most fulfilling thing about it. And just watching kids who for a lot of their life have been either assumed about themselves or told that they're not really going to be that successful because you can't read or, oh yeah, you struggle so much. Let's give you a less intense worksheet or whatever and go do something off by yourself. To watch them come in and go, especially in my resource classes, to get to the point where they are achieving grade level mastery in some of these standards, not all of them, but some of them, is like they walk out of the room like, yeah, I can do this. I want to get out of resource class into co-teach, and I want to get out of co-teach into gen ed. Like they say these things and talk about these things. So it's really cool to see that kind of progression.
Yeah. And just have to have the confidence in themselves and moving forward throughout their academic career, but also outside of that as well. So
yes, job, like everything, right?
Yeah. And What's something that you wish more people knew about the world of special education?
Yeah, I wish more people understood that special education or having some kind of disability is not this like sentence to a certain level of achievement, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it's such a broad term that is given that people view in such a narrow and specific way, I guess is a good way to describe it. Like, there is so much diversity amongst the kids in their disabilities. Like I said earlier, in their severity of disability, like, there is not a cookie cutter outcome or approach or anything to these kids. And I think that a lot of people kind of see it that way. And it leads to, that would kind of be what I would hope people would kind of expand their understanding on when it comes to special education, that special education is in its most simplest form, is there's somebody who has a disability that affects the way that they think or the way that they can learn. And specially designed instruction is, how do we teach them in a way that they can understand and they can learn so that they can be just as successful as their gen ed peers in a lot of cases.
And I think a lot of people might be reflecting on when they were maybe at that grade level.
Yes.
And there's a lot of things that have changed since.
So much. Like, yep.
I mean, the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Are you 29 as well?
I'm 30. So I just turned 30 in June.
All right.
So
I turned 30 this year. So we're right around the same.
Did you graduate 2012 or 2013?
2014.
2014. Dang. Mm-hmm. That makes me feel old.
Yeah, but yeah, this year is the big year. But a lot of people might just say like, oh, because even reflecting on my own experience, like, there wasn't as much inclusion in the classroom.
No.
It was a lot of like, oh, that's the special education classroom. And maybe you see them during morning meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you see them in the like afternoon at the end of the day, but that was really about it. So things have definitely changed for the better.
Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing about that too is, so like, so LRE, least restrictive environment, mm-hmm. is one of the things that we talk about with an IEP. And I'm not sure if the levels are described the same in every state, but like, we have level A, level B, level C is kind of how we define the LREs. And the crazy thing is, at least in this point, in history, I think it's upwards of 80% of students who have an IEP in the state of Arizona, at least, are a level A or B, which means they're either in all gen ed classes, their whole schedule is gen ed. They may have one like resource, more like fundamental math class or English class. And that's like 80% of the kids with IEPs. And it's like, so that's one of the biggest holes I see in like special education as that stuff has progressed, has been the training and the equipping for gen ed teachers. As those things have progressed, the training and the equipping hasn't progressed. And so that gap's getting a little bit larger and larger, and it's becoming a little bit more difficult for somebody who's not formally trained in the special ed side of things to kind of manage and make sure that they're doing a good job with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I hope that's something that we as like gen ed teachers get more time to learn about. Maybe
Absolutely.
Some of those talent development days are working towards that rather than other things, but
absolutely.
Yeah. But how many talent development days do you guys have? Cause I think we might have like an excessive amount. I think we have like 7 or 8 at the beginning of the school year.
Oh, really? So we do. So the way it's kind of set up with us is we've got like our pre-week, and we have a full week of, which is just a lot of, I mean, it's more logistical stuff. Honestly, mm-hmm. it's like, here's a reminder of what we do in a lockdown, what we do in a shelter in place, what we do, you know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. There's always new teachers. So this is kind of our flow as a staff and how we operate on our site, like that kind of stuff. And then some more academic focused stuff. So I actually work for a 4-day school district. So we, throughout the year, we have one Friday a month. That's our PD day, our professional development day. And so, I mean, all in all, we probably have, I mean, how many months are we in school? We probably have like eight of those days that we come in, and it's like, it's almost a full day. But the cool thing about it is they, at least here, they do a really good job at giving, like, they utilize a lot of that time for, teams, different teams. So like the math team with a specific like objective, the ELA team, like all that stuff. So it's pretty cool. I like it. No kids that day. You just get to kind of chill and learn and plan and that kind of stuff. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's nice to have those times to like, yeah, do some team building or other things like that as well.
Exactly.
So since you've been creating videos and things like that, how have your coworkers responded to that? Like, what's their take on it? Cause me as like a creator, I can tell you like kind of what mine, like I like, if my team sees that my door is shut, they know I'm probably creating a video, but even then, like there's a small window that you can see into my classroom and I'm like,
cover that up.
Well, I'm cognizant of it. Like, oh, whatever I'm filming, I want to make sure you can't see into the window.
Right.
I don't know. Just self-conscious about it. But like, yes, what about absolutely. You?
Yeah, it's been very well received. Like it's super fun, and it's a really good district to like work in. Like my superintendent, she follows me on Instagram. It's really cool because like my administration, both here like on my site and also like at the district level, are like very proud and very like encouraging and very like put Payson on the map, and like that's such a good thing that people can look at our town and see something positive. You know what I mean? Like it's all very, like very, very cool stuff. And then my coworkers are great too. Like I've gotten so many of them to be a part of a video or whatever. And then I got my one buddy, Josh, he's my best friend. He also teaches here. He's in most of my videos as well. So just super, super supportive, and yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, it's one of those things too, like having that support is so nice, because I mean, like the stuff that you're putting out there, you don't have to like think twice, like, oh, how is this going to be received?
Yes.
Kind of thing. Like you're like proud of the stuff that you're putting out there.
Yes.
Not only is it like funny, but it's educational and things like that. Yes. And I think like it's hard to be upset with that. Like,
And that's been my goal too. It's like, I don't know. I know that there are like issues in education, right? And I kind of made a rule with myself where one of the main things, like if I'm ever going to address something controversial, it's going to be, and I've done it just a couple times, it's going to be something that directly has an impact on the well-being of special education students, right? And so if there's, you know, something going viral that's really like misleading about special education students or harmful towards them, like that, those are the times that I'll step into controversy. Outside of that, it's like, I'm not going to talk about admin. Number one, because I have great admin. Right. It's been my only experience. And so I'm not going to even step foot into that space because I don't have that personal experience, but, I'm not going to step into like the space of like, oh, these parents and these whatever. It's like, we can, you know, I'm getting a little soapboxy here, but we can complain and we can whine about things, or we can find ways to kind of infuse new life into things. And that's kind of my whole goal with like the slang words, like let's infuse new life into teacher student connection or parent student connection. You know, one of the things I like to use my platform for on occasion is let's talk about how you as a parent could relationally connect with your kid, which could lead to better behavior in the class. You know what I mean? Like there's so many better approaches in my opinion. And so that's kind of been my way of going about things. It's not for everybody, but I kind of got the the personality, but also the outlook. I'm a pretty optimistic, idealistic guy anyway. So it's kind of just me being me and seeking more so the inspiration route than the, I don't know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I think you're doing a great job of creating like a positive space where people can, yeah, just relate to your content, but also feel good after it. Not saying like, oh, I don't know. There's some stuff you can interact with, or it's like just negative, negative, negative. But if you're having a space where people can, after they close your video, they're like, oh, I feel optimistic about this thing, or that gave me a good laugh and made my day a little bit better if I was having a rough time. So, good deal. I think that's a great thing that you're using your space for and using your platform for.
Sweet. Well, that makes me happy.
Yeah. Not a problem, man. Sending you love from Wisconsin. We got you.
Yeah, buddy. Old cheesehead, huh?
Yep. I had to wear my Packers sweatshirt.
Yeah, man. I should have worn my Ravens, except for they're not going to the Super Bowl. So
yeah. Such as like Packers Ravens Super Bowl could potentially happen one day.
One day.
Yeah.
Yeah. One day. Let's make it happen. Maybe.
Yeah. So going back to like your videos and everything like that, like when do you try to carve out time to do them? Is it usually a before school thing or after school thing, or when do you find is a good time for you to create your videos?
Yeah. So I'm actually really fortunate that I can get into my classroom whenever I want. I know there's a lot of districts where like, you can't, like you've got to come only certain times you can get in, which that would be horrible for me, 'cause I forget stuff in my classroom all the time. But, so I usually, since I don't work on Fridays, on a typical Friday, I usually carve out a good couple hours to, I try to get like 3 to 4 videos that I know I'm going to post at some point during the week, and then just trust that teaching during the week is going to bring more content to fill in some of those spaces. So that's kind of how I approach it, is I'm like, okay, I've got 3-4 good ideas. And it's usually like the more involved ones, like the skits and the like word definitions, like that kind of stuff. I film those, edit those. And then I kind of just hold on to them, and it's like, okay, Monday happened and I don't have like a really, like there wasn't like an interaction during the day or an idea that came up. I've got one of those to post. But then like today I have a couple videos ready to post, but there's this trend going around on TikTok where they're just saying 6-7. And it's just because of a song. Like it doesn't really mean anything, but all day today I was getting asked like, how tall are you? Oh, I'm 6'7". And it's just like, they said it all day. How tall is that? What time is it? 6-7, like all day. So it's like, well, there's my video for today, right? And so that's kind of how I try and approach it. I feel like it's kept things pretty sustainable, because I've been able to, I was looking at it last night actually. So I've been posting for about 2 years, and I've made about 650 videos. So pretty much one a day. Feel like I've kept it pretty high quality, you know, that kind of stuff. But yeah, so that's kind of my approach and the rhythm that I've gotten into.
Well, I think that's a good way to do it too, because that way you're able to, I don't know, if you were to have to rely on like carving out time each and every day, like that'd be super stressful. So to like have a library where you're able to pull from and say like, oh, this would work great today. And then if something comes to me, then I can create something, but it's not, it's not putting that pressure on you, especially as, well, you and I are both young dads too. So it's like, I mean, time comes first. So it's not like, oh yeah, I got to go do this quick kind of deal. So making the most of the time that you have available to you, and being able to build a library off that.
Yes.
That's good. All right. Do you have any days you can look back on as a teacher and think like, man, this is why I do what I do?
Oh man. Yes. I am blessed to be able to have at least one of those days a semester. Our school does, there's actually a local nonprofit who sponsors an event we call our Honors Banquet.
Okay.
And so at the end of each semester, we do a winter one and then a spring one. Every teacher picks a student as like their Honors Banquet student. And you can pick them for like for me, I'm always looking for progress, right? So not necessarily like straight A's, not necessarily like, you know what I mean? school doesn't necessarily come super easy to them, but they've made significant progress and overcome a lot of like things in the academic space, right? Yeah. And or the behavioral space even. And so you get to, every teacher picks one, and then our local casino has a big banquet hall, and they do big, like, off the charts, like prime rib or chicken parmesan or whatever, nice meal. And then we all go to the school with our students and their parents, and then we each get up and are able to kind of, we bring our student up and kind of talk about why we chose them. And so it's just, it's really cool because it does make you kind of stop and go, like, on a semester basis, you're like, oh wow, there is a lot of progress happening in a lot of kids that I'm working with. So that's definitely one of those moments for me every semester. But then I go out for lunch almost every day, mainly because I got ADHD and I can't sit around and do nothing, especially when I've got a whole other half a day to do. So I go out and running around playing football, basketball, whatever, because I just love that part. But just the conversations, the fun, the laughter, like that kind of stuff. It's like, who else gets to just go hang out with a bunch of kids and have fun and laugh for an hour every day? Like every day I get to go do that. And I, for me, that's really, it's like sweet. And then I get to go into the classroom and watch them make progress too. So yeah, pretty regularly for me. It's a pretty cool gig. I mean, obviously there's those days where it's just like, oh my gosh, what's happening? Right. But I don't know. For me, it's pretty overwhelmingly positive. Has been and continues to be. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, like you were saying, that you guys have this every semester. So I think it's like nice to be able to have those points of reflection as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because sometimes it can seem like, oh, there's such this big goal that we have, but if we stop and break it down, like see how far we've come.
Absolutely.
And where we're heading, but like, let's just have some gratitude in this moment and where the student mm-hmm. is at, and like, yeah, honor them for that. I think that's great that you guys do that.
Yes. And so much of life from my perspective is about mindset, right? So you can either there are negative things that happen in a day that I could make the bulk of what's in my mind, right? But there's also a lot of really good positive things that I could kind of fill my mind with. And it doesn't necessarily make those negative things, they don't go away. You still have to deal with them. You still have to process them. You still have to work through them. But it is a little bit easier to work through some of those things with the other things kind of fill in the space a little bit.
Definitely. Yeah. Have those bright spots to turn back to when you don't have such a bright day happening.
Exactly.
All right. What do you think makes a great teacher?
Oh man. That's a good question. I think first and foremost, a great teacher is someone who, I would say there's kind of a balance to it, someone who cares about the success of students and has a plan to actually help them achieve success, right? I think that combo of like, I care a lot about you and I've taken the time to put a plan in place to make sure you actually get to the place I'm hoping you do. I think that's kind of the ingredients for where a great teacher kind of is born, because I think it then leads to, number one, I think the care for students leads to like making sure that you're prepared and like having a plan and that kind of stuff. But then I also think it leads to taking some risks and trying different things or new things or looking at a group of students and being like, I know I've done it this way for the last 2, 3, maybe even longer years. However, this group of kids different. So I've got to change things up. So I don't know, adaptability, care for students, strategy, I think is a really big thing. Those are all, I think, really good things. Like when I was a youth pastor, I'm very thankful for the skill sets that I kind of had to learn. As a youth pastor, you've got to do so much administrative work. Like you've got to plan, like if you take kids to a camp, you've got monies you're dealing with and signups and marketing and permission forms and parents. And like, you just learn so many different skills that are so relevant in the classroom to really kind of, you have to, if something doesn't work, you have to reflect on it and figure out why it didn't work and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, that's not a very straightforward answer to your question, but I think a little mix of all of those things are really, really key parts to being a great teacher. But at the very foundation of it, I definitely believe that seeing and valuing the students that walk through your door as people, that you can both teach something and help build skill sets into, build relationships with, but relationships that have boundaries and teach them what accountability looks like and all those things in the context of relationship. I think that those kinds of teachers are really, really effective.
Yeah, I think putting all that stuff together and mm-hmm. really caring about the students is what's going to like have you be a teacher that they remember for the rest of their life.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like they're able to look back and say like, oh, remember when Mr. Lindsay learned all of our slang and then broke it down for the parents? Remember that? Yeah, like, yeah. I wonder if he's still doing that. Like, I don't know, stuff like that.
6 years old, nobody trusts me anymore because I look like I shouldn't know.
Right, exactly. There's no way he knows. Oh, he knows.
Oh, man.
All right, well, I got some quick teacher questions for you here. Mm-hmm. So just first thing that kind of comes to your mind. All right, what's your go-to snack?
Go-to snack, oof. Well, honestly, okay, this is kind of unique. You know those pickle chips in a bag?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those, the dill ones, the spicy ones are kind of okay. The pickle chips in the bag, and then also the little mozzarella sticks that are rolled with prosciutto, that combo, boom. If I'm trying to be good. If not, I'll unfortunately dig into my candy bag.
Every teacher's got a candy bag.
I know. It's not good for me.
Same here. I have no, I don't know.
Self-control?
Yeah, no self-control. That's the word I was like, yeah. Just like, oh, man. I guess while the students are down at Fayette, I could have a couple pieces of chocolate.
Yes, so. Yeah. They won't know if I run out.
Right. Yeah. What happened to all your M&Ms, Mr. Hessler? I don't know. Somebody got into them, I guess. But I'll have to try. I do like dill pickle chips.
Oh, dude.
But I'm going to have to try the combo with the mozzarella cheese.
It's solid. It's all so right. good. I think they call them rolltinis. They have them rolled for you already.
Okay.
Or you could roll it yourself, but nobody's got time for that.
Right. Exactly. All right, what's your favorite school lunch?
Ooh, I mean pizza. I love school lunch pizza. Even in high school, like my mom made me pack my lunches and it was always like healthy stuff. And I would go to school and trade my lunch just to get the school pizza. So I love school pizza.
Yes, like the big
It's not good,
square.
But I love it.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. You're like, now knowing that you've had other pizza outside of this, yes. Like as an adult, you're like, I've had way better pizza than this, but something about it just hits.
It does. It does. I agree.
Yeah. All right. What's your favorite way to wind down after the school day?
Oh, man. Oh, CrossFit, working out, or going on a mountain bike ride. So mountain biking is pretty, pretty big part of what I do. So yeah, that's a blast. And we have some cool places here in Arizona to do that. So those are the two. Something physical, something movement, or else I'm not going to fall asleep even if I'm tired.
You just have the energy and
it's just, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it helps process the day too. Like absolutely. As you're moving and everything, like you think about things like, oh, maybe I'll try that tomorrow or something along those lines. So
absolutely. Yep.
All right. What's your comfort TV show?
No
judgment. No judgment.
I am actually a really big reality TV game show person. So Survivor, I like a lot. But then But then I've also gotten hooked and watched too many seasons of Love is Blind than I'd like to admit. Honestly, anything like reality TV is kind of weirdly my jam. But let's see. But some good shows, they're not very comfort shows, but some shows that I really enjoy. Severance is insane on Apple TV. I did really like Ted Lasso. That was awesome.
That's a good one.
And then there's another one that just started coming out in the first episode. I was hooked. It's called Paradise. It's got like Sterling K. Brown or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. So those ones are more like, obviously, like more action-packed thriller, that kind of thing. Not really like mindless, but that. Oh, and then I also really like Parks and Rec. I do like The Office, but I find Parks and Rec to be a little bit funnier. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, though,
is
one of my all-time. Andy Samberg's my hero. I don't really know what he's done other than be funny, but he's awesome. Hot Rod, the movie, the best.
I quote that movie so many times. My students have no idea what I'm like. So
I know.
Cool beans.
Yeah, cool beans. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, too many good lines. But yeah, I'm with you. Big fan of Parks and Rec, The Office, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
Yeah, some great shows there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. What's the best part about living where you live in Arizona?
Oh, dude. So I live in the mountains of Arizona. So I am at like 5,000 feet elevation. So we get pretty much a true four seasons. Like the first year and we get some pretty big snowstorms sometimes, which is pretty awesome. We usually get at least one good snowfall, like, 4 to 5 inches. A couple of years I've lived here, we've gotten like up to 3 feet in one snowstorm. We're in the middle of a national forest and we're kind of landlocked by a national forest. So you can get across town in 3 minutes if you don't hit the lights, and then like 4 if you do.
Nice.
And so... So that's pretty good. But you've got hiking trails and mountain bike trails. Like, you can drive 5 minutes north, south, east, west, and you can find something outdoorsy. So that, I really, really like that. But then there's also, I really enjoy like small town life, which I didn't necessarily grow up in a very small place. And neither did my wife. We both grew up outside of kind of cities. So like, my wife grew up in the Chicago suburbs. I grew up south of D.C., but I really, really enjoy like going to the grocery store and seeing somebody every time. It kind of depends on the person, but
I was going to say, yeah, that's small town life right there. You're like, oh,
I love that. And I love, like, we don't have any family here. But we never are short of people to like, watch our 4.5-year-old. Like, it's like, oh man, we need to go get this thing done and we both have to be there. And there's like 3 or 4 people we can just be like, hey, I'm going to drop off Maverick for a couple hours. And they're just like, cool. So it's sweet. It's really cool. I like it a lot.
Yeah. How big is your guys' town?
It's like 15,000-ish people.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And we're pretty much on an island of national forest. Like, there's a couple towns north of us. That kind of takes that number probably up closer to like 18 to 20. Okay. But I mean, they're like a 25-minute drive from us, so not super close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Hayward, where I teach, is we have 2,500 people.
No
way. So it's
way.
Like super small. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
Yeah. So like, there's things like we only have like 3 main fast food restaurants. Everything else is like pop restaurants. So we have that can be kind of a downside to it, but also like, I don't know. There's so much cool stuff about small town life as well. Like,
yes,
up here we have a lot of like skiing trails in the wintertime, and then there's a lot of biking and stuff like that. So
that's awesome.
If you ever need a reason to come to Wisconsin, we got
that's
stuff
right.
for you to do.
Heck yeah, dude. Heck yeah.
All right. What's your favorite sport to watch?
Oh, I don't watch a lot of sports. The one I watch most is football. That's the only sport that I really have a team for. So I'm a Ravens fan. But even then, I'm kind of like a – I can kind of bullcrap my way through a conversation about the Ravens.
You know Lamar Jackson's there, and you know Derrick Henry's there.
I know Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, likely Andrew. Like, I know the people, right? But I'm not going to be able to tell you more than that. And I know their record. And so I watch a good bit of their games. I haven't watched it in forever, but I grew up playing lacrosse, and I really, really enjoyed watching college lacrosse for quite a bit there. And then my wife, she's a huge Cubs fan, so baseball, but I don't really enjoy watching baseball necessarily. I enjoyed 2016 when they were on, like, their World Series run. That was exciting.
Yeah.
But other than that, that's kind of it. Yeah, football mainly.
Okay, I'm kind of the same way. Like, I'm a love the Packers, but like more of a casual basketball or baseball fan.
Right.
I think there's something about like being at the game for baseball that makes it a lot more exciting than watching it on TV.
And we do in the Valley, in Phoenix, that's where most of the spring training games happen. So we always go to a couple Cubs spring training games. That I'll do that all day. That's a blast for me. But yeah, watching it on TV, I'm like,
you can get a lot of stuff done around the house, I guess.
You can. Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
All right. Just a couple more rapid fire questions here. All right. Who are you picking if you came over and we played Mario Kart? Who's your character?
Oh, Yoshi all day. Yoshi all day.
Nice.
All day.
All right.
I don't care what anybody says.
I got Toad. You got Yoshi.
Toad. That's what my wife's pick is, always Toad.
I don't know. There's something about it, man.
You go, bike or car?
Car.
Car. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good deal. Good deal. All right.
A couple more here. Did they make too many Shrek movies?
Oh, yeah. I barely watched the first one. I like some of the first.
I just had to throw that in there just to get.
And after that, I'm like, yeah, that's a lot. I mean, how many did they make? Four?
Four or five, something like that. Good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's too many for Shrek, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's too many for most things.
Right. Like, we're going to get all we can out of this thing. All right, what's a place you want to travel to on summer vacation? So, start to plan your summer vacation.
I would really love. Well, one place we're going, we're actually going to go this summer. We've got our 10-year wedding anniversary this summer. My wife and I were going to go up to Banff National Park up in Canada. Mm-hmm. With like that, you've probably seen. I mean, I would imagine you've seen pictures of just huge mountains, crystal blue lakes, like that kind of thing. So we're going to do that. So that's one of the places. But if I like. A place that I don't have on the books yet that I want to do someday. Like, I want to go see, like, all of the European, like, countryside type stuff. Like, the Spanish coast with all the wineries and, like, those kinds of places. Obviously, see some of the cool landmarky, touristy type stuff. But I would really want to just go, like, or Greece. Like, go to Greece for, like, a month and just chill. By the ocean. That would be pretty cool.
And that would be an ideal. Yeah. Ideal summer vacation for sure.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Are you big into like history as well? Or
not really. Not too big on history. The big thing for me though is wherever I travel, I want to be amazed by something like beautiful, you know? So like Banff, like the mountains and the lakes. But like, if I went to Europe, like the cathedrals, I already know, like they would blow my freaking mind.
Yeah.
And so I'm not a big history person. My wife's actually super, she's the history buff. But anything that kind of makes my jaw drop and I'm just like overwhelmed by how massive it is, like the low taper fade meme, but anything massive, anything large, anything beautiful, nature or man-made is like, let's go.
Yeah. What's your favorite place that you traveled to so far?
Oh, Hawaii.
Yeah,
Hawaii. We've done Hawaii a couple times. So, yeah, just twice. But, and it's for that same reason. It's like rainbow, like all the time pretty much. It's like, holy crap. Like it's awesome.
Yeah, that's where we went on our honeymoon. And it was like, Yeah. Well, the food, that's the main reason why my wife and I travel food. Is like, all right, yes. We got to try the different food. Like, what 100%. Is this place known for? And let's just get a lot
let's
of it.
Go. What island did you guys go to?
We were on Maui for Maui, 2 days and then Oahu cool. for the rest of the time.
Where did you eat on Maui?
We remember? Went to the, what was it? The Lahaini Luau. It was Lahaini or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm probably butchering how you pronounce it, but like one of the, Luau was there.
Sweet.
That was like the main food that we got there. I mean, awesome. That fed me for like 2 days right there.
Oh, yeah.
It was so much food. But then we spent a lot of time on like the north shore of Oahu, and it's kind of like a little more a small town there.
Okay, sweet, that's awesome.
A lot of acai bowls. Tried my first acai bowl out there.
I love that.
Yeah. Okay, so before I let you go, I know thank you for having the conversation with me.
Absolutely.
But before we go, how do you juggle being a good husband, father, teacher and content creator? Like, I know personally for me it's like a lot to juggle, but how do you do it?
Yes, I definitely think that my schedule sets me up well. Like the fact that I can take a day to, like, on Friday and lesson plan, create content, catch up on IEP paperwork, like that kind of thing, the fact that I can do that and have it not feel like I took a day out of my weekend is definitely, I mean, that's a huge part of it. But then the other thing is just super, I don't know how to describe it. It's like between my wife and I, one, she's the biggest cheerleader that I've, like, she, I don't know, she's so, like, supportive. She's kind of my, like, and she's a part of it too, like, I'll have a video idea. I'll be like, what do you think about this? Do you think this toes the line in any way? And she'll be honest with me. She's like, yeah, maybe stay away from that. Or I think it would be good if you kind of tweaked it this way. And then you're kind of communicating what you actually want to communicate, like that kind of stuff. And so she's right in the middle of it. But honestly, I don't really know, other than she is really good at time management and really good at schedules and really good at calendars. And I, was medicated for my ADHD long enough that I kind of actually learned how to use a calendar. And now that I'm not taking meds, it's like, okay, I can kind of keep going with this. But that's really it, honestly. But then the other thing about it is it's one of those, like, with the side business side of things, it is one of those things that one of the things I love about it is I get to choose when I do it. So it's not like I don't get to choose my contract hours. I don't get to choose IEP stuff. I don't, when I was doing my master's, I didn't get to choose when homework was due. In this world, it's like, okay, do I need to let off the gas a little bit because I need to spend more time? Or do I need to schedule things differently so that I can go home, be with the family, and then come do stuff? So, like, I did that a lot, especially when I was doing my master's. Like, kid goes to bed at 7. My wife falls asleep like an old lady. She's usually asleep by, like, 8:30.
Yeah.
And I am a super big night owl. So, like, you know, okay, they're asleep. We spent our time from like 4 to 8:30 and they're asleep and I can go create, I can go do IEPs. I can go, when I was doing homework, do homework, like all of those things. So that's kind of how it goes, is just prioritize the time that I know that they're gonna be the most wanting to interact, right? And wanting to hang out and build relationship and have fun. And then kind of schedule everything around it is really what it comes down to for me.
Yeah. And just to have that support system is so important too. Like,
yeah. Oh my gosh.
Just to have that, like,
it's huge.
Not only like bouncing ideas off of one another, but also just like, yeah, being a big fan of your work and everything like that. And being able to share that success too, together, is super cool. I saw that she joined you on a couple of your trips out to New York and everything.
Yes.
Like, Just having that time. So then it's like, oh, we get to go do this together. Like, we get to experience this together. Like,
oh.
I think that's, yeah, something that's super important. And that's awesome that you guys just have that kind of marriage and everything like that. And it's just going to just set you up for success for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I won't keep you too much longer. So thanks again for coming on, man. I really appreciate it, and wish you a great rest of the school year, and I'll keep following. And we should do this again sometime.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dalton. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Take care, man.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast. Feel free to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on Apple Music and Spotify Music so you know when our latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast is coming out. That about does it for us, so continue to be kind to one another, and we'll see you around town.